The Athletic.
Straight out of Cobham, the preview show. On today's pod, we're looking ahead to Chelsea's trip to North London to take on Arsenal this coming weekend. We'll also talk transfers and make a case for the defence. Available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic. This is Straight Out of Cobham. Welcome along then to our twice weekly Chelsea chat. I'm Matt Davis Adams, joined today by The Athletic's Chelsea correspondent Liam Toomey.
Koundé update. Hello.
I've had about 100 of those tweets alone, so I can't imagine what it's like for you. Also with us, former Blue Sam Parkin. Hi, Sam.
Morning, Matt.
Just a reminder, by the way, listener, that if you use the code CHELSEAPOD, you can get 33% off an Athletic subscription. Many thanks to those of you who are already subscribers and have put in your questions via real time. We'll get to some of those later in the show. TheAthletic.com/CHELSEAPOD, the place to go to sign up. Use the code CHELSEAPOD and you'll get 33% off a subscription. Right, let's get straight to it. First port of call, the Emirates Stadium. Arsenal versus Chelsea on Sunday, then contrasting fortunes for the two teams last weekend as they both began their Premier League campaigns with derbies. The similarities ended there, though. Arsenal well beaten by Brentford, whilst Chelsea eased past Palace. Liam, I guess the key question here is, will Romelu Lukaku be in from the start? He says that he's ready to play. Do you think that Tuchel will give him a run out straight away?
Well, I think we won't know for certain until we actually see the team, because I wouldn't put it past Tuchel to maybe be a bit cautious with him physically. But if he insists he's ready, and he actually is ready, I think he will play and I think he will start, as long as there's no physical barrier to it, because you've paid £100 million for him and he's already missed the first game of the Premier League season. He wants that golden boot. So every minute counts from here. And yeah, I'd expect him to play. I think he was asked in his unveiling press conference about the challenges of facing Arsenal and kind of inheriting the Drogba role of tormentor-in-chief. So I think he'll be quite keen to do that and try and mark his debut with a memorable performance. Sorry, that was my dog's tail. Just knocked the screen.
Luckily, the listeners can't see that. Sam, he's only got 2 in 15 against Arsenal. He says he won't have to adapt to the Chelsea system because he plays that way with Belgium. Is that a fair enough comment? And really, there's not that much to adapt to when you're as good as him, is that you should be able to play in any kind of system?
Yeah, totally. I don't buy into that too much. And obviously, he's got recent experience, as you say, playing with his national side in the summer. It'll be a question if he's ready physically. But considering the layout in funds, I think he goes straight in. I really do. And when you look at the way that Arsenal faltered at Brentford, playing against a physical striker in Ivan Toney, that may be something that Thomas Tuchel thinks about. It's the configuration, I suppose, of those front players, which is going to be interesting. Does he play a partner for Lukaku? He's prospered in that regard in Italy. Or does he go with a tried and tested two number 10s? That we're obviously going to find out at the weekend. But I think Lukaku, he looks in incredible shape, first and foremost. I know black is slimming anyway, isn't it? The training kit. But he looks absolutely incredible. So really fascinating learning about that diet he had on Antonio Conte. And it looks good on him. So I'm looking forward to him being unleashed.
Yeah, apparently noodles are the key. Well, the Blues number 9 was reintroduced in a press conference on Wednesday, and he spoke about the advice he's been given upon his return by a certain Didier Drogba.
Well, I kept it really simple, to be honest. I was really happy about the improvements that I made in the last couple of seasons. But, you know, he's always saying that there is more work to be done, and I think that's the right mindset. If you really want to achieve the maximum at the end as a football player, it's all about improving week in, week out. I think the last 2 years, you know, has been great for myself on club level, international level. Now I get the chance to join a team that's very hungry, very ambitious. And, you know, I can't wait to help them and to add something new to their playing style.
Away from Lukaku, Brendan's tweeted the show. He wants to know who else starts against Arsenal. Liam, some of the people I thought might come in. Havertz, James, Chilwell, Hudson-Odoi, I'm less sure on.
Yeah, I think this is probably the more interesting aspect of Chelsea's team rather than you'd have to assume Lukaku will probably start. The players around him, particularly in that forward line, will be very, very interesting for kind of establishing Tuchel's thinking for the rest of the season. We will see Havertz again. I think James probably will come in. Chilwell hasn't played a minute yet, so you would expect him to provide a bit more energy on that left, although maybe Tuchel thinks Marcus Alonso deserves a bit of a run now after his opening day performance. And he has done his own bit to torment Arsenal in the past. I think Hector Bellerin remembers that better than most. Hudson-Odoi, I'm not so sure about, because he seems to be where he is in the pecking order right now. If he gets minutes, it will only be as a wing-back rather than in that front three, which I'm sure is very frustrating for him, but that just seems to be the way Tuchel's thinking.
We're recording this before Tuchel's pre-Arsenal press conference, so we don't know about N'Golo Kante and Christian Pulisic, who both set out the open training session on Wednesday. Sam, we all had a good laugh at Arsenal against Brentford on Friday. Is there a danger, though, that we might underestimate them? How do you see a way that they hurt Chelsea in their current iteration?
Well, I don't think you can get too bogged down in one game. It's the first game of the season against a really vibrant Brentford side and Brentford Stadium. You just only have to look at the recent record against Arsenal to know that they can bite you. Three straight defeats, isn't it, I think, against Arsenal. I thought the left side was good. I think Kieran Tierney's a great outlet. I thought that was the most consistent combination, Xhaka to Tierney down the left. They have to be wary of that. I would imagine that Saka could come in on that left-hand side for Martinelli. That's a really good combination. And Smith Rowe, obviously, has scored against Chelsea previously, was fantastic, I thought, in that game, even in defeat. So he will be at the forefront of their quick, incisive football around the box. So you always have to be wary that they can cut you open, they can make overloads and play that nice, sharp 1-2 touch football. Arsenal will always have that in that armoury. Unfortunately for them, they don't really have the personnel probably to do the other side, which is the closing down. And I think Arteta wants to improve in that regard. Without Lacazette in particular, they're a little bit patched up. But of course, they have their threats. But I would see, you know, that trio of younger players, Tierney, Saka, Smith Rowe, probably carrying the fight more than any others.
Well, Tammy Abraham netted the all-important goal the last time Chelsea went away to Arsenal in the league. We'll talk about his departure and other transfer news next.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So on Tuesday, finally confirmed that Tammy Abraham's left Chelsea to join Roma for £34 million. What's his legacy, Sam? I was looking back at the video that he put out on social media, and it's personal bias, but I kind of more associate him with youth cups and youth leagues and when he really exploded onto the scene then. But it's easy to forget that he's finished as Chelsea's top scorer for two seasons in a row and almost taking the burden off the number nine shirt a little bit.
Yeah, I think doing a very good job in difficult circumstances, I would say, when he was thrust into the first team. I think just being a really good role model as well for the younger players that are coming through at Cobham, especially the front players. It's not easy to break into this Chelsea squad, especially not as a goal scorer, someone who's got that burden to carry when they complete their loan moves, do the business in the lower tiers and then make that transition to the first team. I think he's dealt with it brilliantly. I think he's been a brilliant role model off the pitch. In terms of moments, I would point towards those goals at Norwich. I know it's his debut and it's quite simplistic, but he was coming under increasing scrutiny, I felt, at that stage, from the Chelsea supporters. I think he'd missed in the Super Cup, hadn't he? And had had one or two opportunities, and it was very much a question as to whether he was going to be good enough. And I think he answered them emphatically that day and went on to get that wonderful hat trick at Molineux as well. So I think that was a brilliant period for him, and probably, you know, why he's gone on to have a successful couple of years in terms of goal scoring. But yeah, I think the overall memory of him for the moment is just being a really good team player and someone who seemed to knuckle down, and even in departing the football club has said the right things, which is, you know, commending for him.
Liam, I'm really interested in this buyback clause. Reports are that Chelsea can get him back for double what they've sold him for in 2 years' time and not before. What do you think the chances of that being activated are? And has it been put in basically to safeguard against a De Bruyne-Salah situation?
Yeah, I think that's primarily the concern at the Chelsea end. You don't want a situation where Abraham matures into one of the best strikers in the world, comes back to the Premier League to join one of your rivals, which would probably be the likeliest scenario if that happened, and ends up tormenting you for years to come. The other thing about the buyback is it depends on whether Tammy Abraham wants to come back. You know, the player does get a say. You don't just get to activate it and bring them back. But there's been nothing in anything that anyone said publicly, at least, to suggest that Abraham wouldn't be open to that if the time ever came. Things don't seem to have soured for him. So it really just depends on Abraham's trajectory from here. If he kicks on, if he becomes one of the best strikers in Serie A, if he flourishes maybe on the Champions League stage in the next couple of years, then he can put himself in a very different position and be regarded very differently by Chelsea and elsewhere in Europe in quite a short space of time. You know, we saw when Lukaku left England, when he left Manchester United, I think a lot of people, you know, regarded it, that spell as kind of a failure at the top level in the Premier League. And after two brilliant years at Inter, I think he's now regarded very, very differently in England.
It's a better move for him, Sam, isn't it? I think than say if he'd moved to a mid-table Premier League team. You know, if he'd gone back to Aston Villa or whatever, in terms of reputation, it just feels like he can enhance it more by being outside of England, sort of in the way that Lukaku did.
Yeah, and you admire young British players taking the opportunity to go and play in a different league. And Liam's absolutely right. He just can try and look at Lukaku's last couple of seasons for motivation and for inspiration to get back to where he wants to be. And playing in Italy, the technical side of the game and the tactical side of the game, I'm sure will improve him. And that's where he needs to improve, you know, to get to that next level, to become a regular starter in a Champions League. He needs to tidy up his all-round game. There's no question marks about the ball when it's flashed across the six-yard box that Tammy will be there. He does that better than most, but it's that ability to bring people into play and use his body, which he needs to improve on. And I think that's what Lukaku, he hasn't come out and said it as such, but he's alluded to the fact that Antonio Conte saw weaknesses in his game and said in no uncertain terms, you don't improve with your back to goal, using your body, keeping hold of the ball for the side, then you're not going to be in my team. And I think if Tammy can improve in those areas, he could be playing regular Champions League football for a top English club in 3 or 4 years, no question.
Set October 31st in your calendars, Chelsea fans. Roma versus Milan, Tomori versus Tammy. I think that will be a lot of fun to watch, provided they're both available. Maybe with some added Olivier Giroud thrown in.
It's a big task for Tammy and for Jose Mourinho. Roma finished seventh last season. They were 29 points behind the champions Inter, but we wish him all the best. In other Chelsea striker exit news, Michy Batshuayi has joined Besiktas on a season loan. He's also extended his contract until 2023. Liam, presumably this is because there were no takers for a permanent deal, and Chelsea are what, hoping that this time next year, when things have picked up a bit in this depressed market, they might be able to command a fee?
This time next year, Chelsea will be millionaires. they'll have flipped Batshuayi and made a handsome profit. We've been having this conversation for years, haven't we? Not necessarily on this podcast, but it's been a thing in the Chelsea landscape. As far as I understand it, you know, Besiktas had been one of the leading suitors for Batshuayi all summer, and talks began as a possible permanent move. So what clearly happened was that Besiktas didn't make an offer that satisfied Granovskaya. And this has been a running theme with other, you know, players that have surplused the first team requirements at Chelsea, but particularly with Batshuayi, where even the clubs that have made offers to buy him have not met Granovskaya's expectations. It's probably fair to ask whether those expectations are realistic now, given that he's off the back of an underwhelming year at Crystal Palace. He's now got the reputation as a bit of a nomad, because that's what happens when you go on loan after loan. And he's only got a year left on his contract anyway, so that kind of caps his value regardless of how well he's playing. So it's, I think a lot of Chelsea fans want to see these, you know, these situations get a bit of closure, not just with Batshuayi, Drinkwater, Zappa Costa. I think it would probably be in the players' best interests as well, just to make a fresh start and actually be the permanent employee of a club that wants them and considers them a key part of their plans, rather than just in this kind of bank of loan assets. The other thing to point out is that something that my colleague Raf Honigstein mentioned to me was that apparently it's against FIFA rules to loan a player out in the final year of their contract, which is why you often see these kind of extend and loans from Chelsea in particular, because if they didn't do that, they would be forced to sell Batshuayi or keep him in the reserves for a year. And neither of those options clearly were particularly palatable to Granovskaya.
There you go, Nathaniel. That's answered the question that you posed to us on the real-time section of the Athletic app. Here's another one from MD. Sam, this is for you. From a player's perspective, why would a player want to extend his contract knowing he'll just get loaned out again? Why not just find a club he wants on a free? My answer to that would be probably because that's what the club have told him to do, and financially that's going to be the best thing for him. Is that being a bit too obvious?
No, I think that's probably bang on. I mean, from the outside, looking in at Batshuayi, he seems to be the type of player who just gets on with it, doesn't he? And he's getting great experience in different countries. And yeah, he seems to just embrace each challenge. Unfortunately, he's not getting the goal return. It's had a knock-on effect, I would say, with his international chances, just featured for 14 minutes, I think, during the Euro. So you hope that he goes, scores goals this year, and someone comes up with the amount of money that's going to prize him away from Chelsea. Otherwise, you just get into this difficult cycle of not really having a home. And at 27, 28 years of age that he is now, he needs that. He needs that desperately because, you know, he can be a quality finisher. It's not going to work out for him at Chelsea. But you hope that this loan can look a little bit more like the Borussia Dortmund move than the last couple.
The only other thing to say is that I know, you know, a lot of people saying this is kind of cynical practice by Chelsea and, you know, borderline exploitative of players. But what I would say is in these situations, the player has to go along with it. Batshuayi has to be happy to sign extension after extension and go on loan after loan in order to be in this situation. And the fact that it's happening suggests that he's happy enough with the arrangement, whatever you might think of that.
Liam, what about some of the other cast-offs, for want of a better word, Ratio God, asking for updates on Emerson, Bakayoko, Zappa Costa, Barkley, etc.? The club presumably would rather sell those players than loan them, but we'll probably get to the end of August and they'll all have gone on loan.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones really to talk about at the moment are Emerson, who looks like he's getting close to Lyon. That arrangement, it seems likeliest to be a loan with an option to buy. And given that he's probably the most saleable asset of those names, you know, he just started for the team that won the European Championships, probably doesn't bode particularly well for the other players on that list. We know that Zappa Costa has interest from Italy as well, but no one in Italy has any money at the moment. So that would probably be a loan as well. And yeah, I think that broader assessment from you, Matt, is right. They'll probably end up out on loan again, and Chelsea end up kicking these cans down the road for another year.
Last one on transfers comes from Callum. Any likelihood of Zuma actually going to Spurs? We have a tumultuous history regarding transfers with them. We know that John Terry doesn't want him to go. What about Zuma himself and the club?
Well, he's not, you know, key to Tuchel's plans. You've seen Trevor Chalobah's been playing over him at the start of this season, and every other centre back on the first team books is above Zuma in Tuchel's pecking order. So it's in everyone's interest, I think, for Zuma to go somewhere else and play more regularly. Again, the only thing that hasn't been answered yet is just whether a club's going to put up the money. And I don't actually think Chelsea would have a ton of qualms if Tottenham were the club that put up that money. But it would have to be a good offer. Daniel Levy's not going to lowball his way into Kurt Zouma.
Sam, would you ever have considered moving directly from one rival club to another? I mean, Kurt Zouma's had some good moments at Chelsea. I don't think you put him down as a Chelsea legend, so it's not like he's going to be, you know, irreparably damaging his reputation with the club if he makes the move. But it puts pressure on you when you get to the new club that is the rival of your old club, surely.
I think it does. I noticed that John Terry had his say in three words, was it? I think yesterday, hoping that Zouma didn't make the move. But I think it does come into the thought process. It certainly did for me. Obviously, further down the leagues, there was talk of me moving to Oxford later in my career, and having had the period I had at Swindon, it was just something that I wouldn't have entertained. But you know, I think that's quite a rarity in football. I'm not sure Zouma would be thinking along the same lines as that if it's the best offer presented to him. He'll have to consider it. And yeah, I don't know. I think for Zouma, he needs to go somewhere potentially where he's not going to fall into the same trap that he maybe is at Chelsea at the moment, where Tuchel probably wants a little bit more quality, I suppose, when they're playing out with the ball. And that's maybe where he just falls down a little bit in comparison to Rudiger, Azpilicueta. And obviously the two guys that play the central position have got that in abundance. So he'll have to pick the right fit for him. And I suppose that's something he's got to have in his mind when he's contemplating a switch to Tottenham.
Well, on Monday, we spoke about our preferred front three. Seems like Zouma isn't in Thomas Tuchel's preferred back line, but what about ours? Just another Chelsea fan has tweeted this show to ask, do you think Tuchel will switch to four at the back? Never mind Tuchel, what about Parkin and Toomey? Liam, let's have your defensive system and personnel of choice, please.
I don't think Tuchel's going to switch to four at the back. I know a lot of people have asked this. They're primarily the people that want to see Tuchel switch to four at the back. But we didn't see it in pre-season. I think if Tuchel was going to do it, we would have seen it a lot more in those friendlies. So I think it'll be the same system as last year. And as for the back three, this was another thing I touched on with Simon Johnson, the piece we did on Chelsea's best 11. I ended up going for the back three that started the Champions League final, Rudiger, Silva, Azpilicueta. I just think they work so well together as a unit. If you were going to play another Champions League final tomorrow, I'd probably go with those three. But having said that, I think if, you know, I wouldn't have any problems with Christensen playing either, because he's really blossomed into the defender that I think everyone thought he could become over the last few months, both for Chelsea and for Denmark. And he's more than capable of just stepping into that Silva role and not missing a beat.
Yeah, Sam, I've got Christensen ahead of Silva in my back three with James and Chilwell at wing back. Can you offer any advance on what Liam and I have put forward?
If you're asking me right now, going into the weekend, I'd keep Trevor Chalobah in there for the moment. But moving forward, yeah, I'd probably go Rudiger, Christensen, Azpilicueta, and the two younger chaps at wingback in Chilwell and James. That would be how I'd see it, probably when everyone's got more minutes under their belt and we've progressed into the season. I think Rudiger's statistics last season mean that he is a given. Chelsea are a better side when defensively when he is in it. And I think Thiago Silva, I think potentially having three games in September for Brazil and going to be late back home for the Aston Villa home game? I think something like that probably does come into the manager's thought process once you're into the season. And I just think it's Christensen's time. I think he's been another one who, I mean, he's coming on a decade at the club. The progression is clearly there in his performances. Silva's still going to have a huge part to play, but I would probably just plump for the younger man for the reasons I've stated.
Yeah, remember, Azpilicueta, Rudiger, Christensen and Silva are all out of contract at the end of this summer, so maybe they'll feel they have to play Christensen to convince him to stick around. We shall see.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Maybe you go for a run, or take a nap, or read a book. Maybe you just luxuriate in doing absolutely nothing. Many of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your daily schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist. And if things don't click, you can switch to someone new at any time with no additional charge. BetterHelp provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise with no referral needed. And because you listen to this podcast, you can get 10% off your first month of online therapy by heading to betterhelp.com/cobham. That's BETERHELP.com/cobham. COBHAM.
Elsewhere in Chelsea news, the under-23s started their season with a 2-2 draw away to Spurs. Harvey Vale had the Blues 2-0 up at the break before they were pegged back. Their next game is this Friday against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. You can get tickets for that for a fiver for adults and £3 for concessions. All right, we're nearly done for today, but after the success of last week's effort, I'm going to spring another quiz on you, I'm afraid, chaps. 12 players have played for both Arsenal and Chelsea in the Premier League. Producer Lucy's going to get the clock ready. 90 seconds on it. You go alternate and we'll see how many you can name. I'm just going to get my clock ready too. Okay, the 90 seconds starts. Sam, you're going first. The 90 seconds starts now.
Oh my God. Willian.
Correct.
Olivier Giroud.
Correct.
Yossi Benayoun.
Well, that is a fantastic shout, and it's correct.
Manu Petit.
Correct. Racing through these.
William Gallas.
Correct.
Lassana Diarra.
Very good, yes. 30 seconds gone, we're going to get this done with time to spare.
We're not. Peter Cech.
Correct.
Now I'm screwed. Ashley Cole.
The good news is I've just realised I put one in twice, so it's only 11.
We've not said Ashley Cole, have we?
Correct. Ashley Cole is right. There are three more to get. 40 seconds to do it in, Sam.
No, go on, Liam.
In the Premier League era?
Yep. I mean, these are three like honkingly obvious ones as well. 20 seconds.
Look at the smug laughs from the people looking at the list. Don't need your judgment.
10 seconds. Anybody going to chuck one out? I'll open it to the floor.
The floor is just incredible. Laughing producer Lucy. That's the entire floor.
Right, time is up. The three that you missed, and you will kick yourself. One of them, David Luiz.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Nicolas Anelka. A reasonable career for both clubs. And the other one, and I mean, incredible stuff this. Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
That's the only one I'm irritated about. Yeah.
Always good to end the show on a downer. Liam, what are you writing for Athletic subscribers to enjoy?
See, that shows my kind of niche on the Chelsea beat, the fact that I would say Lassana Diarra and not Cesc Fabregas.
That Benayoun and Diarra came out before Fabregas is quite incredible. Maybe there's an 8,000 word piece in that somewhere. But until then, what have you got in store for the weekend?
I'm working on a piece about the problems that Arteta has given Chelsea, or the problems that Chelsea have had with Arteta's Arsenal, featuring all sorts of freaky things like Kante falling over, Tammy Abraham trying to defend his own penalty error on one leg, and much more. And then on the weekend, I'm doing a piece on which forwards fit best around Romelu Lukaku, just discussing that and different possible combinations, because I think that's going to be a defining question of Chelsea's season.
Liam, you also appeared on the Athletic Football Show talking Chelsea too.
Yeah. I was actually discussing the work of others, the piece that Simon Johnson and Raf Honigstein did on Tuchel's pre-season and how he's happier at Chelsea than he's ever been any other time in his career. Not Simon, Tuchel. So, yeah, that I went on and kind of took credit for that piece and discussed more broadly Tuchel at Chelsea. So, yeah, by all means, give that a listen.
Yeah, and remember, if you go to theathletic.com/ChelseaPod and sign up, you get 33% off the price of a subscription. And if you listen via the website or app, you get all the podcasts for free, but with the adverts removed too. Sam, we've got plenty of listeners from outside the UK. Some of them might be able to hear you describing the game from the Emirates, am I right?
Yeah, I'll be covering it for the TalkSport International broadcast. So really looking forward to that. Going to be at a game on Saturday as well. So busy weekend of football, but looking forward to seeing, hopefully, Lukaku do some damage a la Ivan Toney. Never thought I'd be saying that in the same sentence.
I'll be at the Emirates on Sunday. I'm also covering that PL2 game I mentioned, so you can watch that live on the Fifth Stand if you like. On Monday, we will react to Arsenal versus Chelsea. Liam will join me for that, as well as Dom Fifield making his return. Until then, from all of us here, including special guest Ruby, it's bye for now.
Forgive me, Cesc.
The Athletic.